We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, Ram Nation. Welcome into DNVR Rams Live, presented by Natures of Colorado, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary providing top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. Remember to use that code DNVR online or mention DNVR in store or drive through. We're breaking down a big time blowout victory for CSU men's basketball. Just dominated Utah State 75-55. Very easily could have been a 30 plus point victory. I really love the mentality on both sides of the ball. Looking forward to getting into all of that. But it was just a special day at Moby in general, man. I mean, you start out with a border war victory on the women's side, a really gritty performance. They were able to battle back. It was kind of a slow start for McKenna. They pull it out late. That's great to see. They've been a little tougher of late. You know, I was kind of a harsh critic when they dropped some games that I felt like were winnable. Want to make sure I give them credit for beating a good team. But obviously the Fight Like a Ram event on the men's side is just, it's so cool. I mean, I think it's my favorite. I never thought I would have anything that I liked more than the orange out, but you know, as Swole is saying here in the comment section, what a great day to be a Ram. It's such a valuable teaching lesson for everyone. I mean, the guys obviously coming off of, you know, just such a frustrating loss to San Diego State. I think it's nice for these guys that are, you know, 20, 21 years old to just have an opportunity to gain some perspective. And that was one of the things that they talked about post game, just how much this game resonated with them and getting to interact with the cancer patients and seeing what they're going through and fighting. I mean, everybody has been impacted by cancer in some way or another. And I just think it's a really special way for the entire community to come together to show our support for the real fight. And like I said, it's a good reminder that there are things in life that are much more important than basketball. Basketball is important. Don't get me wrong. We all live for hoops, but what a cool day. I mean, a sold out Moby Arena, the players are rocking cancer patients on their jerseys fifth year in a row, but it really resonated this year. I don't know, the atmosphere, you're battling against a first place team and you play one of your better games of the season. I can't ask for much more than what the Rams did in this one. I thought they set the tone immediately, which was awesome. You know, Pat loses the opening tip, Joel loses the opening tip, but Cartier immediately gets a quick steal on an errant pass. Scott shoots a three on the other end. Pat gets the offensive rebound, dishes it back to Scott, who's able to get a dunk there. And it really set the tone. 24 of 26 points to begin the game scored in the paint against a team defensively that's pretty stout. I mean, I love the mentality that CSU had on both ends of the floor. And I thought it started right at the beginning with Joel Scott there. I think him and Bemba, they had at least the first 10 points. I mean, it was really, really impressive the way that the Rams were basically able to get whatever they wanted in this one. I mean, they were able to get to the rim at ease. The ball movement was great. The cutting was great, all of it. But after that first three that Scott attempted to start the game, CSU didn't attempt another one for over 12 minutes of gameplay. And even so, they're able to establish this double-digit lead. I mean, this was what you would want as a coach. And I know that we love the three ball, especially in modern basketball. But I asked Medved about it post-game, and he kind of laughed, and I knew what he was going to say. The way the game started the other night against San Diego State, it can almost be like a kiss of death. When you hit five threes in like 2-3 minutes to begin the game, I don't know. I think sometimes it changes your mentality a little bit. You get a little complacent instead of really embracing physicality and working the ball down low, trying to play inside out. You start taking the shots and they might be open. But I think this is the way that this team has to play if they're going to be consistently successful. At this point, we have a large enough sample size. They're a good three-point shooting team, not great, and they're really, really dependent on Isaiah, Neek, and Patrick to essentially, you know, carry the largest portion of that three-point production. It's been a little frustrating that some of the role guys have not been able to knock down open shots, and they missed some open ones, and this one for sure, but they were all really good looks. We'll talk about that more as we get on, but just a really, really impressive game. Shout out to everybody in the comment section. I appreciate you getting up with us. If you wouldn't mind giving us a thumbs up, I'd appreciate it. All right, sorry about that. Joel Scott, 14 first half points. He finished with 17 and 7, which was awesome. Or 17 points on 7 of 9 from the floor, had 8 rebounds as well. I said on the podcast coming in, he had to be the X factor. And I just felt like his physicality on both sides of the floor, it really just set the tone from the beginning. And I don't know, man. Like, I think he has this switch that he has kind of found here down the stretch. And maybe it's just kind of finding your confidence as the season goes on. Kevin asked a good question about that post game. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan, just mentioning how if you look back over the last couple of years, whether it was Cartier last year down the stretch, Chandler Jacobs 2 years ago, these D2 guys have really found their rhythm right around this same time of year, and it's carried over into the Mountain West tournament, hopefully, you know, beyond that in the postseason this year. It's just great to see him. I mean, they don't have that traditional seven-footer, and I get that. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a Jaden Ladie or something like that. But he plays so much bigger than he is. And when he's not limited by really ticky-tacky fouls like he was against San Diego State, he's just been really, really good. And I just can't say enough about his effort on both ends. Utah State did kind of throw out a 1-3-1 zone to limit some of those easy looks in the paint that CSU was getting early on, and it did. And again, they were kind of daring the Rams to shoot. A lot of those did not fall. But if they even shoot 35%, like as a team that are basically right around where they normally shoot, this is probably a 35-point win. I mean, Utah State, they got their ass kicked on both ends of the floor. And I can't say enough about the response of this team, especially coming off of brutal second half against San Diego State. We're going to keep it going. I do want to shout out the homies over at Game Time. It shouldn't be hard to buy tickets with Game Time. It doesn't have to be. With Game Time, you get all the best last-minute prices. They have killer last-minute deals, all in prices from your seat. You know you're not going to get screwed with a bunch of fees. If you listen to this podcast, you know I hate the fees. You're going, you're scrolling, you think, hey, great, great deal. I'm going to hit the Nuggets game, like $20. And then all of a sudden, convenience fee, service fee, you wanted to watch basketball fee, and that $20 ticket ends up being like $40. It's ridiculous. With Game Time, the price you see is the price that you get. They have tickets right up to the start of an event, even an hour after it starts. With their zone deals, you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And with the Game Time guarantee, you get the best price. Download the app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. I also want to shout out Natures of Colorado. They provide an amazing grade of cannabis, vast variety of products. Check them out for all your needs, including infused edibles, high potency concentrates. Some of the best flower in the state. There are four locations: Log Lane Village, Garden City, Sedgwick, and Milliken. They're the go-to dispo in northeastern Colorado. Check them out for great deals, including a $99 ounce every day. If you use our code DNVR, you can get that for $85. Remember to use that code DNVR online or mention DNVR in stores. We have a comment here from Bobby. Do you think CSU has to win out? No, not even close. They're firmly in the tournament, guys. I'll say this, and this is one of the things I was going to get into at the end of the show, but they're firmly in the field. Right now, they'd probably be around a 7 seed, maybe a 6 seed, depending on how much credit they get for this. With the NCAA selection committee releasing their initial, you know, top 16 seeds, they do it the way the College Football Playoff Committee does. With San Diego State being a 4, that shows a lot of respect. A lot of respect to the conference as a whole. Now, if you want to win the regular season title, you do probably have to win out. But I've talked so much about, like, it would be really neat. The Rams have never done it, and I'd like to see them do it. At the end of the day, the postseason success is really what is going to define this season. And like, if they come up a little short, you'll look at a game like Wyoming, you'll look at the second half of San Diego State and be like, dang, those were the ones that got away. But it's just been that type of year. The league has been absolutely insane. We've got a question here from John. What can they do to improve to a 5? Keep winning. You went out, you're going to be at least a 5 seed. I mean, it's we got to see what happens. There's so much basketball to be played. They could go on a run in Vegas, win the Mountain West tournament, and that could bump them up to like a 4 seed, a 3 seed. I mean, who knows? There's so much to happen. I mean, if they were to have a colossal collapse down the stretch, they could probably fall to like a 10 or 11. They are going to be in the NCAA tournament, though. I just want to make that clear. Isaiah, he had kind of a slow start in this one. I think he's 1-6 from the floor at one point. Down the stretch, man, he was such a closer. We got another comment that I'll just respond to from Bobby. He just gets worried that only two teams will make it from the Mountain West sometimes. That's not happening, man. It's just we're more likely to get 7 bids than 4. That's the state of the Mountain West right now. The conference is a high major basketball league. I know that it's not going to get called out on ESPN or whatever, but we're going to get 3 times the bids of the Pac-12. I don't know if you watched USC Colorado down the stretch last night. CU ended up stealing one in double overtime. Nobody underperforms like USC basketball, but Mountain West is in a really good spot. I understand why everybody has the hesitation just because of years past. It's just a different situation this year. The top teams are not getting penalized for losing to the other top teams. The non-conference resume was huge for kind of elevating the perception of CSU and the Mountain West as a whole. I mean, they're in a really great spot. So we've got another comment here from Cam. CSU can't win big games on the road. That's the issue. Well, you don't play any road games in the NCAA tournament, Cam. And they do. They have 5-6 wins away from Moby this year. So I know a couple of those are technically neutral sites against high major teams, but I find that narrative to be silly, especially when you look at the same struggles that all of the other top teams, not just in the Mountain West, but college basketball as a whole are having. It's hard to win on the road. There's about 3 teams in the country that have done it consistently at a high level in these types of leagues, guys. We got to keep a perspective, and we got to understand like where this league is at nationally. You're not going to get penalized for losing a game against a team that frankly should be in the top 25, but AP poll is stupid. The whole thing is dumb. If you look at the metrics, Mountain West is in a great spot. That is what the selection committee is going to base it off. Now, they do need to back it up and have some success in the postseason. You know, outside of San Diego State this past year, Mountain West has not been very good in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, it's just a wait and see. So much of the tournament is, what type of draw did you get? You know, who are you playing? Are they hot? What city are you in? What's the travel situation? There's a lot to be determined, but the point is, you're sitting in a really good spot, and as of now, you're probably in line to tie with 2 years ago, which was a six seed, the highest in program history. You know, the Rams are in a great spot. That's all I'm going to say. Keeping it going with the takeaways, Isaiah, 14 points on 3 of 6 shooting in the second half. He went 6 of 6 at the free throw line down the stretch. Thought his ability to drive and get in the paint against that 1-3-1 zone was absolutely massive, because the three-point shooting was not good yesterday. Like, we can focus on that and fix it on it. It wasn't good. They got a lot of good looks. They didn't fall. This team struggles to shoot open ones. I don't get it. There are times they hit some really tough contested threes that I'm like, no, 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 don't shoot. There are some wide open ones that they get off in rhythm and they just don't seem to fall. But once Utah State switched that 1-3-1 zone and kind of just eliminated some of those really easy looks that the Rams were getting. I mean, in the first half, Joel Scott, Bemba, all those guys, they were just getting whatever they wanted at the rim. It was a really rough defensive showing from a Utah State team that had been pretty consistent throughout most of the year. They were great against CSU in Logan. All the teams in the league are better at home. That is a fair point of commentary. I mean, I think when you look at everybody's struggles on the road, I don't know if it's something you want to fixate on or if it's worth fixating on, especially because you don't play true road games in the postseason in college basketball. But just the ability to adjust was really huge, because that did not happen against San Diego State. I mean, we all saw it. The final 9 minutes, it was 18-1, I think. The Rams just kind of, I mean, they got some open looks that didn't fall, but they didn't have the ability to counter against San Diego State. And against Utah State, once, you know, the Rams got a hot start, Utah State throws a couple jabs, CSU adjusted this time. And that's just the sign of a mature, well-coached team. I'm really, really excited about the possibilities moving forward, especially, you know, if everybody can kind of continue to fulfill their roles the way that they have been. Neek, he had a team-high 10 rebounds. Utah State, I think in the first 60 seconds, got 2 offensive rebounds. They both might have been Osabor. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. He had 7 by himself in Logan, so that's kind of a recipe for disaster. But I felt like Neek really kind of settled the presence there. I didn't word that well, but I felt like he really steadied that area for the Rams. He had 9 rebounds in the first half. It was just really, really big. He had a couple of alley-oops. He had a steal where he goes coast to coast. He's able to just adjust midair, finish off the board with a defender in his face. His touch is really impressive. Another guy they need to shoot the 3 ball a lot better. I mean, he was 0-5 in this one, missed some open ones. He has not been shooting from deep quite as well as he was at the beginning of the season. But at the beginning of the season, he was like well over 50%. I mean, he was legitimately a top 10 three-point shooter in the country at one point. His true shooting percentage was insane. His effective field goal percentage was insane. He's still doing all the right things, whether it's, you know, pulling down those boards, attacking in transition, getting steals, you know, getting an alley-oop. There was a situation where Utah State in the second half, they call a timeout, and Neek, he's in the corner with Joel Scott at the top of the key, which against that zone, they're clearly trying to get Neek up in a wide-open back cut. Nobody follows him. It's an easy alley-oop. I mean, his IQ is just through the roof. His athleticism is important, and he, along with Josiah Strong, and Jalen Lake and Tavy Jackson had a couple of really nice defensive plays. They do the little things, man. There was a play where Neek, he dished it out to Isaiah. They're trying to advance the ball up court. I thought Isaiah got fouled. Isaiah thought he got fouled. He kind of hesitated for a second, and it looked like it was going to turn into a turnover. Neek comes flying from out of the frame, dives for a loose ball, pokes it to Isaiah, who, you know, then whips it to Joe Palmer in the corner for a three, one of the few threes that they had in this game. Those are the things that add up, man. And Josiah had a couple of strips like that. Tavy had a strip defensively. And then on the next side, he was able to get a reverse layup, but it was so open. He actually looked like he was surprised at one point again. Really surprised how much Utah State allowed the Rams to just kind of kick their ass in the paint all game long. But I just want to make sure that I also credit some of these guys that aren't necessarily going to stand out in the final box score. I mean, you look at, you know, Joel Scott and Isaiah combining for 35. It's easy to focus on those guys to kind of fixate on it. But I mean, it's these little things that really raise CSU's ceiling. And it's especially making the biggest impact on the defensive side. The Rams are now a top 35 team. If you look at their defensive efficiency rating on KenPom, that's the highest it's been by like 40 spots. I mean, under the Medved era, that's ultimately what's going to determine how high this team's ceiling is. We've said it from the beginning. Like, we know that a guy like Isaiah Stevens is going to get his. We know he can create in the half court. We know this team is going to be able to attack and transition. Can you defend at a high level? And against Creighton on Thanksgiving, that was this team's defensive ceiling. That was just smothering against an elite offensive team. The best defensive effort we've seen by the Rams under the Medved era. This was really close, though. Really, really close. And if they can continue to defend like this, it just significantly elevates your ceiling. I don't think the Rams win this game 2 years ago if they shoot the three ball this poorly. I just don't. Like, the way that the Rams were able to control on both ends, they really shut down Utah State's transition offense. That's what they want to do. They want to run on you. They want to gun, you know, Darius Brown, their point guard. He's great in transition. And we just shut all that shit down. All of it. I don't understand the question. Do we have an idea of potential 10 to 13 opponents? Do you mean in the seed range? That could be all over the place. Again, we'll have to see, because a lot of those 11 to 12 seeds are going to be the AQ winners from, you know, the conference tournaments, and we got to see what happens with the first four in. And there's a lot to be determined as of right now. That's the weird spot. And I understand, like, we want to know what is this going to look like moving forward. But if you were to, and this is all, you know, theoretically, if you were to win out, and I'm talking like if you win out the rest of the regular season and then go on to win the Mountain West tournament, again, you could be like a four seed, a three seed. If you win most of those games, I still think you're in that six range, maybe even the five range. The Mountain West is getting a lot of love on a national level, so we're just going to have to see. But a lot of the times in that 12 seed range, you're going to get a quality mid-major, you know, a team like a Drake, for example, which always bums me out. It feels like they kind of pit the good mid-majors against each other at times. I don't know. Maybe that's me being a little bit sensitive as a mid-major guy, but I love the chaos of the NCAA tournament. I think it's one of the truly perfect events in all of sports. And you see all these reports about wanting to tinker with it and, you know, potentially change how many teams get in or potentially change the terms of it all. And I'm just so against it because it really needs no changes. And I understand that it's increased over the years. Everything changes, but getting worked up, just thinking about it. It's just a really impressive win, guys. Like, I feel like I'm kind of getting repetitive here at this point. If you look at the numbers, you know, CSU, they had 21 bench points. That was great. You needed that effort from the guys in the rotation. But the big deal is you finish with 48 points in the paint. You're plus 22 there, I believe. I got five dunks, 14 offensive rebounds, which results in 18 second chance points. Forced 11 turnovers. They had the advantage in the fast break. They never trailed in this game. The Rams have played largely a lot of really good basketball over the last month. And I know they've also had two really confusing devastating collapses where everything just falls apart and the wheels just completely fall off. You hope to God something like that doesn't happen in the postseason. But the thing that makes me feel good is that if you look at what this team has largely done over the last month, it's been really consistent. They've trailed for less than 10 total minutes out of the last eight games, actually like been down. They've been up double digits by far more than that. When you look at the way that this team is really coming together on the defensive side, it's really encouraging. Now, they're going to need to be able to shoot the ball a little bit more consistently from three. You know, 17%, 4 of 23 is not necessarily a winning recipe. But the thing was that I really appreciated about this performance was they didn't start shooting the threes until late when they were pretty much getting dared to. I mean, like I said, Joel Scott opens the game with a three-point attempt. They miss it. They don't attempt another one for over 12 minutes of gameplay after that. It was just a really, It was a really firm understanding of what this team needed to accomplish against a team that will bully you if you give them the opportunity to. And when you look at the way that the Rams have played now against Utah State, San Diego State at home, Boise State, teams with a lot of size, teams with physicality that they really want to bully you if you let them. The way the Rams have responded gives me a ton of hope for the NCAA tournament. I've always been high on this team just because I think they're so deep, 1 through 9. They're really versatile as well. They've been able to win in a variety of styles. And ultimately, when you have an elite point guard like Isaiah Stevens, that tends to translate. High-quality point guard play tends to be a factor, especially in the tournament where teams with experience, another thing that the Rams have, tends to be a benefit. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. I have no clue. In this juggernaut of a league, you have seven teams within a game and a game and a half of each other. Good Lord, getting tongue-tied. But, man, I cannot wait to see what happens in the Mountain West tournament. I cannot wait to see what happens in the NCAA tournament. I appreciate you all in the comment section. Keep them firing in. I'll respond to as many as I can. We got one from Hagen here. What did you think of the CSU crowd? Who has the best home court advantage in the Mountain West? Crowd was awesome yesterday. Really rowdy. I did see one student get tossed for being a jerk. That's going to happen. But as a whole, I thought it was awesome. I thought they were engaged. The best home court it's either Viejas or the Pit. And, you know, you just experienced one and now you've got the other coming up. I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Pit just because I think like 15,000. I mean, their attendance is wild, and you know, it's a really tall, they're all like kind of looking down on you. It's loud. That's all they have down there in Albuquerque is UNM hoops. So out of respect to them and, you know, trying to appease the basketball gods a little bit, you know, give them the proper respect before CSU goes down there next week. I'm going to wrap up with some final thoughts here in a second. Again, keep the comments rolling. If you have anything you want me to respond to, please fire away. But I do want to shout out Fubo TV. They've got 140 plus live channels of sports shows, movies, and news. Stream live TV from any device. Watch the most Colorado sports for the lowest price. And you can start watching immediately. You know, there's no contract, no cable, no hassle. Just get your free trial going. Boom. You've got 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. Watch all your college basketball action with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR. Sign up and get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. I also want to shout out FOCO. They've been with us forever. They're a leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment merchandise. They've got bobbleheads. They've got shirts. They've got hats. I mean, whatever you need, FOCO is going to have your back. They've always had our back for Colorado sports. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description, or for all non-presale items, use that code DNVR for 10% off of your order. All right. Some final thoughts. Like I said, Rams have really played well over the last month. The amount of time that they've trailed is very minimal. The amount of time that they've been up by double digits has been significant. I do think you probably have to win out to get it'd probably just be a share of the regular season title at this point. A game and a half back, that might be too much ground to make up, especially when you look at the remaining schedule for Utah State and San Diego State. Not extremely daunting. I mean, each team's got a couple of tough games left, but ultimately want to finish in the top five, avoid a game in Vegas. Like, that's what it comes down to. There's going to be two really good teams in this league that have to play day one of the Mountain West tournament, and you don't want to have to be one of those. If you are, it's not the end of the world, especially given your non-conference resume, where you're at as far as your NCAA tournament resume goes. Really, really good spot. I want to see this team maximize its potential and reach the ceiling that we all know that they're capable of. I mean, it's been 20 years since the Rams have won a Mountain West tournament. You know, they've never won the Mountain West regular season title. It's been 10 years since they've won an NCAA tournament game. Like, it just feels like if not now, then when? Everything has kind of culminated up to this moment over these last 5 years. Last year was a down year because of injury and because the whole thing, frankly, was built for last year to kind of be the pinnacle year four with Roddy and Stevens. Didn't work out that way. Roddy goes pro, nothing but love for him. We're all rooting for him. But that happens. You have to adjust. They had some weird recruiting circumstances. Some guys that you thought you were going to land ended up elsewhere. You come back, you have, you know, an up and down year. You have to battle through injuries. Ultimately, not one you're going to remember much about. But this year, it's kind of like the year we were supposed to have last year. You hit on a couple of key transfers. Isaiah comes back, which is huge. You get a couple of young guys that have been able to make an impact, and you're rolling, man. Like, this team is so tough. They're so unselfish. They play the game the right way. I just want to see them do what they're capable of, and that's frankly reach the second week of the NCAA tournament. I don't know if that's going to happen again, so much of that in a really wonky setting. I mean, single elimination, you know, you never know what happens as far as your draw and all that, but this team is certainly capable of it. And I think when you watch the national broadcasts, you know, they have the admiration, the respect for this team. It makes a lot of sense. It's not just a homer thing to say that this CSU team is really special, that they are one of the most dangerous mid-majors. Again, I think it's more of a high major league in terms of the quality of play this year in all of the country, but they've ultimately got to go out and prove it. And I trust Isaiah. I trust these guys. I trust their ability to respond even after heartbreak, but still got a lot of really big basketball to be played. The big thing is just enjoy the ride, guys. It's been such a fun season. The great moments have significantly outnumbered the frustrating ones. No, they're not perfect, but they're teenagers. That's just how this works. Got a question here from Bobby. Do you think Stevens is first round pick worthy? I think skill-wise, without a doubt. The tough part is NBA draft evaluators are going to nitpick his height. They're going to nitpick his age. Defensively, he's grown a ton, but I you know, is he quick enough to stay with NBA level guards on that side? I don't know. He's a guy that maybe has to carve a way out through the G League or something like that. To me, if I'm an NBA team and I see a guy like Isaiah Stevens, who's that savvy, who's that good of a shot maker, that's the big thing. He doesn't just have to be a traditional point guard that's out there facilitating. Obviously, he's great at it, and that's one of his biggest strengths and one of his biggest selling points. These last 2-3 years, he's become one of the best just stand-up shooters in the country. I mean, he's great from three. That's huge for him. I sure as hell hope he gets a shot, at least in the second round, if not the first round. But it's going to be tough. He's going to have to overcome some doubters just because he doesn't fit the traditional NBA guard mold. I mean, the reality is, you know, he's like 6 foot. I think he's listed at 6'1". I'd say he's probably more like 6'5". And, you know, a small guard in the NBA is what, 6'3", 6'4"? It's just, you know, a tough spot. I love that comparison from Bobby. He could see him be a Monte Morris-esque backup point guard role in the NBA. Monte is a little bigger, a little quicker, probably a little more consistent on the defensive side. At least he was at Iowa State coming out. But I was a big Monte Morris fan, so I love that comparison. We got a question from Taylor here. When in the pit, and all of a sudden are we favorites to win the regular season title? Not favorites, but it certainly gives you a really good shot too. You're a game and a half back, so I think you're going to need, you know, another loss from Utah State and San Diego State. But, you know, San Diego State still got to play Boise State, Utah State, you know, you never know. They've been a little bit up and down as of late, despite the fact that they've had a really phenomenal season. I know a lot of people are going to be pissed that the unbalanced schedule is going to play a factor in this when it's all said and done. It is. I mean, it's just the reality. A team like CSU and New Mexico really got screwed in it, to be honest. You would love to only play one game against, you know, a Nevada or a UNLV instead of only getting one against Fresno and San Jose State. Like, those are the teams you'd love to get a couple of easy wins on. At the same time, playing all these quality teams and getting the quality wins, getting those quad one opportunities, that's how you get a much higher bid. So they're going to have to win these next couple to have an opportunity to play a factor in the regular season title. The toughest, obviously, are going to be the Pitt and even UNLV. I don't know what to make of that team. They take one step forward and then two steps back every single week, it seems. I saw somebody tweet that about them. I think it was Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated. So I'm not trying to take it. I just thought it was really well put. I just don't know what's, I mean, talent-wise, they're definitely top three in the conference. But then you see what they do last night. They're up double digits with like 5 minutes to go, and all of a sudden they just collapse. They do it 2-3 times a week. It's very, very confusing. What's our ideal Mountain West tournament first round matchup? So much of that will be dependent on whether you're playing day one or day two. I mean, ideally, we're going to be starting in the second round because you're going to have the first round bye. And then, you know, you hope to get like a San Jose State or something like that. You don't want a UNLV, a Nevada, somebody who might be at the bottom. Like, you're hoping for a San Jose State or a Fresno State or an Air Force, probably. It's hard to beat any team three times, so I guess I'll say Fresno State just out of principle. But I think the teams you'd really like to avoid early on are like UNLV and a Wyoming. Wyoming's going to play really hard against you, obviously, because your rivals, they're frisky. And Wyoming's a team that's been kind of a thorn in the side of everybody in the Mountain West tournament these last couple years. But I mean, ultimately, you're going to have to beat at least two really good teams, one of these top six teams, if you're going to win the Mountain West tournament, and probably three of them. So there's really no point in trying to be like, oh man, I hope we get the easiest path forward, because ultimately, if you want to be a champion, you can't make excuses. You've got to find a way to get it done. It's never been harder. The path to a title has never been more daunting in this conference. I mean, when like the eighth or ninth best team in your league is, you know, Wyoming and UNLV this year, it's just, it's insane. It's insane the depth that they have. Maybe it's not quite as top heavy. Maybe you don't have a Jimmer Fredette, you know, BYU team, or Kawhi with San Diego State, or even San Diego State from a couple years ago with like Malachi Flynn, Utah State with a Sam Merrill. But man, 1-8, this is as good as any league in the country. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I cannot wait to see what happens moving forward. I obviously have high hopes, just like all of you. I also know that we can only kind of focus on one game at a time. And I know I'm sounding like a coach and spouting cliches at the moment, but it really is the case, because as we see, so much changes from night to night. On Wednesday morning, everybody's feeling like the Rams are down and out. Man, what a horrific performance in the second half. And it was not good. You know, now it's fast forward to 4 days later, and you know, you're feeling like you're on top of the world. You just kicked the shit out of the first place team by 20 points. Should have won by 30. I mean, it smacked them around so much to the point that Utah State removed Great Osabor with 5 minutes left. And he was pissed about that, by the way. The body language of the Aggies down the stretch, not great. And that's, you know, maybe something to keep an eye on here as we get to this stretch, or to the final stretch here of the season, is, you know, does this team, which has certainly outplayed expectations coming in, have the composure to finish the marathon. You know, that is the toughest part about college basketball, is just how long you have got to sustain it. It's months and months and months. You know, teams tend to have a rough stretch, and the Rams obviously had theirs early on in the non-conference slate when they dropped 4 out of 6. It should have beat Wyoming, but they didn't drop 4 out of 6, but they've been able to respond. And it feels like CSU is kind of figuring out their groove here at the best time. So we'll see what happens. A lot of basketball to be played. I feel like I was kind of all over the place today, but I appreciate everybody rocking with us in the comment section. Got a comment here from Bobby. Are you going to any of the rest of the games? Yeah, I'll be at all the home games. I'll be in the Springs. I'll be at the Mountain West tournament. I'll be at the NCAA tournament. So I will be at the majority of their remaining games. Will not be in the Pit. Will not be in Vegas for the UNLV game. But outside of that, I should be at every other game for the rest of the season. So really looking forward to it. Shout out to all of you in the comment section. Shout out to everybody listening. I really appreciate your support. Before we get out of here, I do want to show my support to just a really special couple, Jan and Len Carpenter. If you've been around CSU Athletics, you know the name. Long, long time CSU supporters. Jan has had a really tough year. I had an opportunity to see her in person yesterday for the first time in over a year. And, you know, she's really struggling. And I just want to show my support and just, you know, let them know that we're all thinking of them. You know, it's hard to see the people you care about struggle. And so just a lot of love. And sorry, didn't mean to get choked up there. But always proud to be. Yesterday was it was cool, man. It was really, really cool. This community is special. And, you know, on a day like yesterday, it was a lot more than basketball. So I'll say that, you know, sorry for getting choked up, but really good people. And it's hard to see really good people struggling. So always proud to be y'all. Thank you for tuning in. Much love. Thank you to everybody for rocking with us.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up 7 seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoke in a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days.